Hello, everyone. Good morning. So much energy in the room. Like, I'm so excited. Worship was amazing. And we're all pros now because we've been doing meditation for almost 2 months. Look at this. When we first started, we were like, are people going to like this? Are they going to look at us crazy? And we have the best home where people are accepting and willing to try something that makes us feel more connected to God. And that's what the centering prayer is all about. So normally I try to help you not be distracted by thoughts in your minds, different emotions going through. But today I actually want us to feel. So I want us to close our eyes. I want you to bring your hands to the knees, bring them down or up. I want you to relax the shoulders. And I want you to take a deep inhale with me. And then exhale. Take another inhale with me. And then we exhale. At your own pace here, you're going to continue to breathe. But I want you to go deep within and start to notice how worship made you feel today. I want you to bring awareness to the beautiful words that we were singing today, how they were connecting us more to God. Everything that we're doing here is an experience to get closer to God. Bring awareness now to that moment of gratitude that we experienced. Really cultivate gratitude. Feel the energy of gratitude within you. And I want you to notice that that too is a connection with God. That is how we experience God in just another form, by being grateful for what we are living. Bring awareness to those prayers that you've been asking for. And if you feel like they still haven't been answered, we continue to pray. But if you're in a moment now where you're living out these prayers, I want you to experience that moment right now. I want you to feel how beautiful it is to be in a moment right now where you are living out everything that you've been asking for, or maybe just one thing. But I want you to experience gratitude in this moment. I want you to bring awareness now to when you stood up and gave a hug to somebody, to a neighbor, to your fellow brother and sister of this beautiful church. And I want you to bring awareness to how that love, that connection that we experienced together, how that felt. And I want you to realize that that too is an expression of God, of God's love. In this moment here, my friends, we are just coming closer to God. With the energy that we all have, reminding each other that we are all one. Filled with so much love and grace. If you're going through a hard time right now, I want you to know that we are here with you. That every step of the way, God is walking with you, but so are we. And as we sit here and contemplate, I want you to feel strong and feel secure in knowing that you are not alone, because God is always with you, and through God, so are we, always connected. My beautiful friends, I want you to know that you are whole, that you are full of so much love.
that all you have to do is remind yourself to come back home. Coming back to yourself. Coming back to God's love. I want you to eliminate any unserving thoughts, any limiting thoughts of fear, of I cannot. And I want you to replace them with what God would tell you, which is that you are more than enough. You can do anything you want because you were created in His image. Take a moment here to really feel everything that you have felt. Not only in these last 30 minutes, but maybe this last week, this last month, this year. And I want you to know that all of that is God as well. Take a deep inhale. Bring your left hand to your heart and bring your right hand to your stomach. And I want you to feel your heart beating, reminding you that you're alive, that you're here with purpose. And as your stomach begins to expand, I want you to know that that breath that is filling you, that is God filling you. So when you feel alone, know that you are not alone. Know that you are always being guided and that everything that you desire will happen in divine time, but we cannot lose faith. Honor yourself here in this moment for being here. Honor yourself for waking up every day and doing the best that you can, because that is all that He asks of us. My friends, I love you so much, and God loves you so much. Let's take another deep inhale, really filling up the diaphragm, allowing it to come up the chest. Shoulders come back. We hold the breath for one moment. And then exhale, releasing the hands down. We gently open up the eyes. My friends, may peace, grace, and love always be with you. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. How are we feeling? Refreshed, grateful, happy? I'm very glad that all of you are here. I want to share with you a message today that I've entitled, Finding Your Melody. I have a friend of mine, my best friend actually, he's here in the house, Miami Marcy. He's a music producer. Yeah, we can give it up. He's all the way in the back, in the shadows, in the all black, doesn't like attention, so he'll probably not come back for a while after this. But he's my workout partner. And so we go to the gym every morning, and earlier this week we were in the gym, and I actually was kind of stuck on what I was going to share this morning, and it just hit me like this. But we were talking about life, and he had come up with this idea. We have been talking about the possibility of creating an album together. You know, I am not like a professional musician or a professional singer. I do have experience singing for years before I became a lead pastor, before I started Heartway Church. I was a worship pastor. That's what I did for several years at another local church. And I loved my time doing that, but I've never really pursued singing beyond just that. So as my friend was telling me about the possibility of making an album, I said, well, I think that's fun. I think we can do it. I think there's a lot of good things that can come out of it. But here's the thing. I've never actually like written a song or created music before. So please tell me about how that process goes, because I'm a rookie. And he said, Danny, look, I'm going to keep it really simple for you. And everybody, by the way, has a different style of making music and creating music. But my friend said to me, here's what we can do. I'll produce the beat, and I'll make sure that it's fire. All right? So I'm going to get you the best of the best. I'll make the beat. I'm going to give that to you. What you will do at that point is just listen to it. Let it inspire you. And then from there, you just kind of sing whatever song comes out in the moment. You are the one that gets to find and decide what that melody will be. And so, you know, you can really make that whatever it is that you want it to be. And as we were talking about that, this thought came to me, wait a second, that's how it is with life. Every season of our life has a certain beat. Every season of our life has a certain rhythm. So some seasons of our life are more upbeat, right? Things are going good, things are happy, everything's going fine. There are other seasons of our life that are more downbeat. They're difficult, they're hard, we're going through some trials and tribulations. But regardless of whatever the beat of your life may be, you are the one that gets to choose what the melody will be. You are the one that gets to choose what song you will sing over the beat of your life. So some of you may be going through a season of your life that feels a little bit like this. Why don't you guys help me? Feel this. What does this feel like? You know, it's kind of heavy. It's somber. You know, this feels like just difficulty. But look at what happens to this beat when you layer over it a beautiful melody. Come on now. You can enjoy it a little bit. Everybody knows this song, right? Hey. Every step I take, every move I make. All right, this is not a concert. Y'all can stop. But that was awesome, right? Isn't it true that there's something that changes about the song? The quality changes, right? When you layer over it that beautiful melody. So my question to you is, what is the song that you are singing over your life in this moment? Some of us may be singing a song of sadness, heartbreak, anger, bitterness, frustration. I know for me, when I was younger, growing up as an only child, this was the kind of song that I think represents how I was feeling for a while. And now don't make fun of me, because I'm about to really expose myself to you, okay? But this was my soundtrack when I was an only child growing up by myself.
Don't wanna be all by myself anymore.
Celine Dion, I got to see her live in Vegas. That was the best time of my life. Okay, how about this one? This was you guys are gonna think I'm like, I was depressed. I promise you I had a good childhood, okay? But this was how I would feel like middle school, high school, when I liked a bunch of girls who didn't like me back, okay? Trying to get into the moment.
Lonely, I'm Mr. Lonely. I have nobody to call my own. Ooh, I'm Mr. Lonely.
Oh man, all right. Now, I want to see who really knows about this next song. You had to really be into rock and roll. If you know this, you are like my best friend, okay? This is how I would feel sometimes when I was just angry and frustrated and when my basketball coach wouldn't put me in the game and he would bench me. Y'all know this? Papa Roach.
Cut my life into pieces. no breathing. Don't.
Whoa, slow down, man. Y'all didn't think I was actually gonna say the bad word in church. Who knows that song? Wasn't that awesome? Let's give it up for the band, everybody. So amazing. Oh, man. But I know y'all can relate to having those kind of soundtracks in your life, you know? And it's okay to sing those kind of songs, right? Maybe we're in a point in our life where we're just mad, and that's the song that we're singing over the beat of our life. Maybe we're sad and we're depressed or we're heartbroken, and that's the song that we're singing over the beat of our life. It's okay to sing those kind of songs if you need to. It's better to sing that kind of song than no song at all, right? Because we got to get out of us whatever is bubbling up inside of us. We got to be willing to express ourselves. But here's the beautiful thing about it. Whenever you're ready, if you want to sing a song of joy and laughter, you can. If you want to sing a song of happiness and peace, you absolutely can. Because your life will be whatever you make it. And so you might as well make it something good. You might as well make it something enjoyable. You might as well sing a song that makes you dance. Sing a song that makes you feel alive. See, nothing that you experience in your life is either good or bad. It just is. Circumstances are neutral. Experiences are neutral. It is what it is. We are the ones who give certain value to every situation and circumstance that we experience through our judgment and through our perception. We're the ones who say, this is good and this is bad. Well, what if instead of categorizing everything as being good or bad, we just learn how to embrace everything and accept everything exactly as it is? What if instead of being selective about what we call good, we just decided to see the whole thing as being good, even the bad, even the ugly, even the difficult? There's this U.S. Navy SEAL officer by the name of Jocko Willink. Look him up. Wrote a book called Discipline Equals Freedom. He's been on a bunch of different podcasts. My friend told me about him, and I've also read about him and heard him on the Joe Rogan podcast. This guy is like the most manliest man you'll ever meet. U.S. Navy SEAL officer, okay? And he says that when he was in the Navy, his subordinates at times would come up to him and tell him about all of the problems and the issues that they were facing out in the field. And so he said one day one of his men came up to him and said, sir, these are the issues that we're dealing with. We've got this problem, we've got that problem, and then we've got this issue. What are we supposed to do? And he said every time, without blinking twice, when they would come up to him and tell him a problem, after they were done talking, he would look at them and he would say, good. And they would come back the next time. Sir, we got a problem. We've got this huge issue. We don't know what to do. This happened. That happened. Everything's happening. He would look at them and he would say, okay, good. It got to the point where these people got so frustrated because every time they would come to him with some sort of negativity or some sort of problem, he would just look at them and he would say, good. Why would he do that? Because there's always something good that comes out of everything, even if you don't end up seeing that until later in your life. That's just the way that life works. So somebody breaks up with you, good. Now you have more time to focus on yourself. You lost something that was really valuable to you and now it's gone, good. Now you get to be reminded of how important it is not to attach your happiness to material things that can be taken from you in any moment. You didn't get that promotion that you wanted, good. Now you have more time to get better. See, if there's nothing that can be done about the situation, then this is exactly how things have to be. And so you surrender to that. And by surrendering to that reality, now you can begin to see God's goodness in it. It's never your circumstances that bring you suffering. It's your perception of them that does. And if there's anything in this world that we have the power over, it's our perception. It's how we see. It's how we sing. Now, I'm not telling you to be fake. This isn't about positive thinking. I'm not telling you to pretend like everything is fine when in your mind you really believe that it isn't. But what I am trying to communicate to you is take a moment to look out at life through the eyes of your soul and see reality as it is. See things for what they really are. When you can look past all of the judgments of your mind, when you can look past all of the negative chit-chatter that you've been conditioned to think and that just keeps going over and over and over again all day, what you will see is reality the way God has revealed it. And at that level of seeing, all of it is good. All of it is graced. All of it is perfect. Let me read to you this psalm, Psalm 22. It's interesting, many of you may be familiar with the first few lines of this psalm, because when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he actually quoted these words. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? A lot of scholars say that by referencing the first two sentences of this psalm, what Jesus actually had in mind, and of course we don't know what Jesus had in his mind, we're speculating, but this is a good probably thing to consider, is that when Jesus was referencing the first two lines of this psalm, what he had in his mind was the entirety of the psalm. The psalms were basically the hymn book for the Jewish people. So all of the psalms that we read, these were the songs that they would sing to express their worship to God. And all of these songs are very diverse. They express a very wide range of human emotion. And so Jesus begins by saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why do you remain so distant? And now let's read the rest of it. It says, why do you ignore my cries for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night you hear my voice, but I find no relief. Notice this transition. Yet you are holy. The praises of Israel surround your throne. Our ancestors trusted in you and you rescued them. You heard their cries for help and you saved them. They put their trust in you and they were never disappointed. Notice how this psalm begins with anguish. It begins with despair. It begins with disappointment. It begins with frustration, but it ends with gratitude. It ends with trust. It ends with surrender. Isn't it fascinating that this is the song that Jesus chose to sing over his life in the most difficult moment that he ever had to experience? Yes, it was a song of anguish, but it was also a song of victory and a song of joy. What is the song that you are singing over your life? And can it be possible to sing this kind of song even in the darkest of moments? This is why Jesus would always go around saying, believe the good news. Believe the good news. Believe the good news. Somebody tell me, what in the world was a first century Jewish man who was homeless, who was an enemy of the state and eventually would be crucified by the Roman Empire, who was an enemy of the religious establishment of his day, who almost got thrown off a cliff for some of the radical things he would say and the stances that he would take on equality and justice for all people. What in the world was a man like this talking about good news? Believe the good news. Believe the good news. Life is good. Believe the good news. How could he even utter those words out of his mouth? What is this good news? The good news is there is no bad news. Because for people of faith, it's always a win-win situation. This is why the Apostle Paul in the New Testament could say, we are pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. This is why David in the book of Psalms could say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Yes, this is a difficult time, but I know I'm not alone. This is why in the book of Romans, it could say, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. Not even death or life, nor angels or demons or principalities. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. This is why Jesus could also say, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. See, with God, every negative is a positive and every positive is a positive. Because God always works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose.
And to see the world in this way is what it means to have the mind of Christ. It's to be able to see the goodness in everything, the gift of everything. It's being able to see God in everything. So I receive every experience with open-heartedness. I recognize every experience as a gift from the hand of God. You know, the Stoics have this wonderful concept that later became known as amor fati. Everybody say amor fati. Amor fati. I was telling a couple of friends of mine, I'm not really into tattoos. My wife has a whole bunch of them. I like tattoos on other people. I don't like tattoos on myself, and I'm too scared, which is the truth, to get a tattoo. But if I were to get a tattoo, it would probably be this. Because this summarizes what I think is essential to life, at least my life. Amor fati. Amor fati literally means the love of fate. It's loving what happens, loving what is. It's treating every circumstance, no matter how difficult it may be, as a gift to be embraced instead of a curse to be avoided or rejected or repressed or ignored. It's not just tolerating your circumstance. It's not even just accepting your circumstance. It's taking it to the next level and saying, I welcome this difficulty. I'm going to make the best out of every situation of my life. That's amor fati. There's this one scholar who says that when God reveals the divine name to Moses in the book of Exodus, which is I am who I am, that's how the divine reveals itself to Moses. He says that this name, I am who I am, can also be translated as that which is. That which is. God is simply that which is. And there is no opposite to God, which is why the scriptures say that God is over all and in all and through all. So to embrace all is to embrace God, because God is all in all. To love what happens is to love God, because God is that which is. One of my favorite teachers, Richard Rohr, says, think about God as reality with a face. To love God is to love reality. And to love reality is to love everything that happens. And I know this may sound very simplistic to some of you, especially those of you who are more theologically or philosophically inclined, but I've been doing so much to try and just simplify my faith and my spirituality, which I feel was so complicated by people who know a lot of things and have doctor behind their name. But for me in my life, I can't speak for everybody else, but for me in my life, everything that happens to me, I receive as the will of God. I can't understand that intellectually. I may not be able to make sense of that rationally, but when I surrender to every circumstance as the will of God, there's a peace that rushes into my soul that I cannot find in any other way. When I accept every experience as God's will, I can then begin to see God in every experience. And so I can then love everything that happens, because God becomes everything to me. Amor fati. The love of fate. Loving what happens. Let me read to you this next passage of scripture in the book of Zephaniah. I love this. It says, the Lord your God is with you. His power gives you victory. The Lord will take delight in you, and he will quiet you with his love. I love that. People who have really come to fully embrace and experience the love of God, they don't have a lot to say. People who are overly opinionated and have a lot of arguing in the name of God have not yet really experienced the love of God, because the love of God quiets your soul. There's a calmness to you when you've encountered the divine love. And I love this last line. God will be joyful and he will sing over you. Think about this beautiful imagery and metaphor of God singing over our lives. When we look at our lives, we think imperfection, mistake, I'm unworthy, I'm not enough, I'm a failure, I've made too many mistakes. But when God looks at us, he sees all of those things that we identify, and he still sings over us with joy. He sings a song of celebration over our lives. And now he invites you and I to do the very same thing, to take delight in our life. What do you mean? There's so many imperfections. There's so many problems. There's so many issues. Sing a song of joy over your life, because the whole thing is exactly the way that it needs to be. And you may not be able to see it right now, but I'm telling you, it's going to work itself out. It's already been worked out. You just don't see it yet. Healing comes when you start seeing it. But just because now you started seeing it doesn't mean that wasn't the reality the whole time. How many science nerds are in the house? Any? Okay, anybody know about string theory? I know one guy knows about it. I know another guy knows about it. Okay, yeah, we got a few people who know about string theory. String theorists say that when you break down matter to its furthest point, what you will find is something that can only be described as vibrating strings. I know this doesn't probably make sense to you. This is science. Let me show you this graphic. You have matter. All matter is made up of molecules. When you break down molecules, you have atoms. When you break down the atom, you'll find quarks. In the past, before string theory, we didn't think that we can divide matter any further than this. We thought quarks were it. String theorists come along and they say, no, no, no. From a distance, when you look at a particle, it just looks like a tiny little dot. But from up close, what you would see is an energy field made up of vibrational strings. What does that mean? I don't really know exactly what that means, but I think it's a cool metaphor because it goes with the whole music thing that I'm trying to do this morning. And I literally heard one scientist say, as a result of this, the entire universe is a symphony of strings. Our words are just metaphors, people. Even science at this point is recognizing the limitation of our language, the limitation of being able to speak about this reality. Okay, but everything in our universe is vibrating. Everything is pulsating. In fact, did you know the very word universe literally means one song? Universe. All of existence is the very song of God. And the song that God is singing is a song of beauty. It's a song of wholeness. It's a song of love. It's a song of joy. It's a song of celebration, which is the same exact song that your soul has been longing to sing. So as we wrap up this morning, I wanted to do a little interactive prayer with you. We've done this once before. It's a call and response prayer. In the Christian tradition, we call these litanies. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask everybody just to stand with me. And I'm going to read the first line. And you, out loud, are going to read the lines that are in bold. And together, we will make this our prayer as we wrap up our time. God, it was your voice, the vibration of your words, that set the first molecules into formation and motion. Your breath first nudged planets and atmospheres into existence by the rasp and melody of your speaking. Like a cascade of waterfalls, the rumble of thunder, the whir of wind, and the soft breath of infants, so is the beauty and power of the voice of our God. You moved air through lungs of dust and called us beautiful, named us beloved, and shared with us your energy and your art. When we say that we live and move and have our being in you, God, we mean that from wave to particle to atom to molecule to cell to organ to body, you are within and throughout.
You are love, and love set the earth spinning and the stars shining and our hearts beating. Love that sings and vibrates, dance and gyrates. Love that never stops being and becoming. Love that energizes and enervates, uplifts and invigorates. Love that multiplies and amplifies. In Christ, love is singing again and still singing a song of redemption, invitation, and new creation. Amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together. Love you all tremendously. Have a great rest of the week. God bless you.